Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Ayin Gimel. Begin two lines up from the top of the Amud. The Gemara concludes a braisa that was brought up on the previous daf. The braisa was speaking about the chumrah that Shabbos has over other mitzvahs, and that the chumrah that other mitzvahs has over Shabbos. And the reason why the Gemara introduced that braisa was because Rava was using that braisa as a raya to his shita in his machlikas with Abaya. And that is, they had a machlikas, there's halacha regarding halachas of Shabbos, that misasik is potter. If someone's involved in one activity, and totally unbeknownst to him, he does another activity, that's not like a regular shagig which makes you chayef for a chatas, which is that you knew what you were doing, but just you were unaware of either that it's Shabbos or that you're doing malacha. Rather, here you knew what you're doing, but unbeknownst to you, you did a totally separate malacha. And that is, for example, if let's say you meant to pick up something. Instead of picking up, you unintentionally did a totally different activity and that you ripped up something that was attached to the ground, which is an issa malacha on Shabbos. That, everybody agrees, that's going to be masasik. Machlokes between Abaye and Rava was when, if let's say you intended to rip up something and you ended up ripping up something, but you intended to rip up something that was mutter, that it was already detached from before Shabbos, and by mistake you ended up ripping up something that was attached still on Shabbos, and that is the machlokes Abaye and Rava. Abaye says that's not masasik because what you intended to do, which was to cut something, you ended up cutting, although you intended to do it in the way of heter, which is that it was attached already, still the fact that it's issur doesn't make it not the activity involved. And Rava said, no, it's still not considered complete action that I wanted to do. It's still a misasik somewhat because I intended to do a mice of heter, although I wanted to cut, but I wanted to cut a cutting that's already detached. And now I did a cutting that was still attached. And therefore, that's considered misasik, and that's going to be potter. So Rava brought a whole braisa to show that from that braisa, you could see a raya to him that that's still considered misasik, and that's something that you would be potter on Shabbos. And our Gemara concludes that discussion of the braisa, which the braisa had said that the chumrah of Shabbos over other mitzvahs is that Shabbos, if you do it all in one helem and one lapse of awareness, you're going to be chayiv, although it's two different types. Versus by other mitzvahs, which the Gemara ended up saying is a reference to Avodah Zarah, that if you do Ziveach, Kiter, Nisach, if you end up doing all the different malachas of Avodah Zarah, you'll only be liable to one. And then the Braith said the Sefer, that contrasts Shar mitzvahs to Shabbos, was Taka talking about all the other mitzvahs, not Avodah Zarah, because that doesn't apply to Avodah Zarah. That is, other mitzvahs, that if you do it b'shoigig and misasik, that is with ein miskaven, you will be liable. But by Shabbos, if you do something by shoigig and ein miskaven, as we mentioned on the previous stuff, that everyone agrees that misasik, you're potter on Shabbos, because it says in the pasuk is ashachat ba, that you sin in it, is a reference that you have to be intending what you're doing on the malacha on Shabbos. Now the Gemara concludes explaining the braisa. B'shogog b'loy miskaven b'shar mitzvahs hechidami. When the braisa says in the Sefer that there's a chum of other mitzvahs over Shabbos, that is, by other mitzvahs, if you did it inadvertently and without any intention whatsoever, still by other mitzvahs you're going to be liable, what is that type of case that you find that you'll be chayiv by other mitzvahs? How do you have a case of shogog and ein miskaven? So the Gemara says, the savor de shuman huva ochle, is that you thought that this was permitted fats. That's the two types of fats. There's shuman, which is permitted, and chelib, which are the forbidden ones. And he ate it. So therefore, this type of case, it was a shogig, because he thought it was shuman. And it's also loy niskaven, he didn't intend at all to eat chelib, and still we say that it's going to be chayiv. And that is, although it's this case is a masasik, according to the way Rav is defining masasik, because he didn't intend to eat any achila of Isser. Again, although he intended to eat this item, which we said is machlik zabai Rav, if that's considered masasik or not. And Rav says that although you intended to eat this item, but you didn't intend to eat an item of Isser, so then it's considered masasik. Still by other mitzvahs, you'll be chayiv. As Shmuel says in Masechtas Krisis, that by chalavim and arayas, by eating forbidden foods and engaging in illicit relations, even misasik, and that's what we mean by shar mitzvahs, even if you're totally unbeknownst to you doing a totally different activity, you'll be liable because there's a concept of shekainan, because ultimately you're having pleasure. And since you're deriving pleasure, on that itself is what's machai of the person. So therefore, by shar mitzvahs, specifically chelev and arayis, things which the sensory organs are enjoying, the pleasures that the body's having, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. On that, the Gemara says, so what was the braisa contrasting? It's saying, mash'inki b'shabbos, whereas by Shabbos, that the potter there. Again, that's what the braisa said. By other mitzvahs, which again, in reference to chelev and arayas, although you're totally misasik, you're unbeknownst to you, you meant to do one thing, and you ended up doing something else. You wanted to eat shuman, and instead you ended up eating chelev. Still we say yechayv, but we're saying that the contrast is that by Shabbos, you'd be potter. That is, because by Shabbos, you don't have the concept of having hanah. So therefore, that's a raya to opinion of Rava that he says that if you intended to cut something that's detached and you ended up cutting something that's attached, then you're going to be potter. Again, because that's exactly the case that we're talking about, as the Gemara explains. That if you intended to cut something that was detached, and you end up cutting something that's attached, you're going to be potter, because that's the other type of case that it's going to be. Again, the shar mitzvah is that you planned on eating something, you had kavana for the ma'isa. That is, you had intention to eat. It's not like you didn't intend to do what you were doing. You intended to eat, but you thought it was shumen, it was permitted fats, and you had no intention to eat chalev. And we're saying that that's the case by shar mitzvahs. That's the halacha we know that Shmuel tells increases, and then you're going to be chayev. So what is that same type of parallel case in Shabbos? Is that you intended to do this action of the cutting, but you didn't intend to do the action of cutting of iser. And of that we say that although by other mitzvahs, right, specifically chilev and arayas, that you intended to eat, you intended to have relations, but you didn't know that that's who it is, that it's a forbidden union, or that this is a forbidden fats, that's included in the case of einim eskaven. That's a case of mesasik. And only by other mitzvahs that you're going to be chayav. But by Shabbos, the equivalent type of a case, which is that you intended to do that action, which is specifically cutting, but not an action of iser, then on Shabbos will be potter. So that's exactly the way Rava defines his case of mesasik, not like Abaya. That if it's you intended to do an action, but not an action of iser, that's enough of mesasik to be potter on Shabbos. However, Abaya will tell you that really such a case on Shabbos, you would be chayav. Because as Abaya said, that's not considered mesasik. Because mesasik is if you're intending to do the action, although you didn't intend to do an action of iser, but you intended to cut. So now you did a cutting of iser on Shabbos, and therefore that's considered a shogeg that you chayav. So what is then the parallel case of mesasik by other mitzvahs that were saying that you chayav, that in Shabbos would be potter? That Abai explains that shogeg b'lo miskaven hechadami. So what is the case of the sefer that says that if you did inadvertently, without any intention whatsoever, by shar mitzvahs that you'd be chayav, to show that the parallel on Shabbos case that you would be potter? That's the savar roiku boli, that he thought this liquid was spit, and he swallowed it. That is really, in essence, it was a melted fat, but it looked like spit. It has the same consistency, and he swallowed it. We had no intention for eating at all. That the action was not intended, because spit is not something that's eaten, rather something that's swallowed. As a pasuk in Eve in Perek Zayin says, ad boli roiki, until I swallow my spit. And what ended up happening was that he had an achila at the end. But he didn't have any kavana to eat at all. Again, because this is totally mesasik. This is a case of like intending to pick up something. Instead, you cut. That the actions was unintended at all. Not that you had the same action, but just you didn't want to do an action of Isser, and then you ended up doing action of Isser. Here, Abai explains that the parallel cases of Shabbos and Shar Mitzvahs, by Shar Mitzvahs at Yechayev, is that we're talking about even when you didn't even intend to do the action. You didn't intend to do eating. You intended to do a swallow. That's the case by spit. You think spit is something that's not eaten, and instead you end up doing an eating because it was a food item which was chalev that was melted already, and therefore you ended up doing an eating. That is what the Brice is saying. Masha inki b'Shabbos the potter, whereas by Shabbos said you be potter because the neskaven lahagbias the tolish. Because now that's the equivalent case that everyone, even Abai, agrees to. If you intended to pick up something that was already ripped from before Shabbos, and instead you caught something that was attached, that you're going to be potter. As we said, that the equivalent case for Shabbos that you're going to be potter is that you intended to pick up, and you ended up doing a ma'isa of chaticha, that we're saying that then you're going to be potter in Shabbos. Avol neskaven lachtach es hatolosh. However, Abai says you have no raya from the brisa. If someone intended to cut something, although he intended to cut something that was already cut from before Shabbos, and you ended up cutting something that was attached, that you're going to be chayav because that's not masasik, Abai says. You intended to do a certain action, and you did the action. Although you intended to do it an action of heter, because you thought it was ripped, and it wasn't attached anymore, and you ended up doing one that was connected, that's not considered masasik. You intended to do the action that you were doing. Similar to the case of when it says, Bashar mitzvah, you would be chayav, that you didn't intend to do an eating, and you ended up doing an eating, even though by Shar Mitzvah that you'd be chayav. And that is what we say Shabbos Yipata, because that's totally misasik. You didn't intend to do an eating. That whole activity was not intended. You intended to swallow, because that's what spit is. It's not something that's eaten. And that we say Shar Mitzvah Yichayev and Shabbos Yipata. But again, but if it was totally an inactivity, if it was something that you had the activity, that you intended to do it, like, for example, to cut the talish, then Abai says, he argues in Ravan that you'd be chayav. Now the Gemara continues on this theme of this machlokes that we were discussing between the Abai and Rava, different cases that they argue regarding misasik. Itmar, neskaven lizug shtayim mezorik arba. If someone intended to throw something in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah on Shabbos, 2 amos, which is not asim in the Torah, and you end up throwing it 4 amos, which is asim in the Torah. So we have a similar machlokes between Rava and Abai. Rava amapata, Abai amachayev, and the Gemara explains, Rav Amar Padre Rav says that he's exempt. Why? They're like a mechav, unless you get the arpa, same type of a svar that he says over there. He didn't intend to do a throwing of foramis. In other words, he didn't intend to do a zrika of iser. Because you're not chayiv for haitzah, for carrying foramis and shus rav, unless it's thrown foramis. Here we only intended to do two, so therefore that's considered a mesasik. He didn't intend to do such an action of iser. He only intended to do an action of hatter. And therefore, although it ultimately ended up doing, that's not considered a shogeg. That's considered a totally different action. As we said, that's shitas rava, because if it's not intended to do a zrika of iser, it's going to be potter because of mesasik. Abaye Machayev says, no, you're liable. Similar logic that he said before, because you intended to do this action of throwing. So although it wasn't intended to be an action of iser, but it was the same action, and therefore if you ended up doing it by mistake, that's a regular shkaga, that's a liability that you're chayev for. Also, in a similar vein, the Gemara brings another machlekes between them, kesavir shosayachim. You thought it was a private domain. V'nimtzur shosrabim, and ends up being that it was really a public domain, so you were carrying four amas, you thought you're allowed because it's a private domain, and ends up being it was a shosrabim. So Rav Amapat, the Rav says you're exempt. Rabbi Amachayev, no, he says you're liable. As the Gemara explains, Rav Amapat, he says you're exempt. Similar logic. You didn't intend to do a throwing of Isser, that it should be considered a shogeg of Shabbos or of the Malacha. But here, there was no shogeg, not regarding Shabbos and not regarding the Malachas. Rather, he was involved in one thing of Heter, and he ended up doing something of Isser. Because when he threw these four Amos in Rosh HaSayachet, he thought it was Rosh HaSayachet. He knew it was Shabbos. He knew that you're not allowed to do a Malach of Zrika, but he thought it was in Rosh HaSayachet. So that's totally Masasik, according to Rabbah. Vabaya Machayev, Vabaya says, no, you're liable. The Hokka Machayev and Zrika Ba'amah, you intended to do this action of throwing. Yeah, but that's not considered Masasik, that you were totally uninvolved in one action and then you ended up doing the other action. That's not the case. And therefore, since you intended to do this, that's considered a Shagig, and you're going to be Chayev. Now the Gemara says, Ritzricha. We need all the three cases. Why do we have to say the machlokes between Abaye and Rava and all these cases, even though they seem very similar? So the Gemara explains. The Ashmin Kamais, if we only said the first case, which was brought on the previous daf, which we mentioned, that if you intended to cut something that was already talus, already detached, and you end up cutting something that's attached. Bahu kama Rava, in that case, Rava says that the person is going to be pater, that it's considered mesasik, to hold like a mechaven lechaticha de isur. You didn't intend to do at all a cutting of iser because you thought it was detached. But regarding the second case that they argue on, regarding if you tended to throw two amas, you ended up throwing four amas. The arba b'lei tarti le mizrikale. You can't throw four amas without throwing included in that two amas. So therefore, this person that intended to throw two amas and he ended up throwing four amas, his machshava, his intent was fulfilled because included in four amas are two amas. Therefore, that's not masasik. You did what you wanted to do. You just only did more. So therefore, maybe there, Rava would agree that the person would be liable. And as the Gemara says, maybe in that case he would agree to Abaye. That's why we needed the second case also. V'yashmin b'ha, and if we only said the second case, b'ha kama Rava, only in the second case did Rava say that you're going to be part, that it's mesasik, to hold like a mechavim lezugadar, because he didn't intend to throw four amas. And less than four amas, it doesn't have a shame of zrika b'cha. You didn't even do a zrika, you didn't throw anything, because a Shabbos throwing, to be liable for what's considered zrika, is only with four amas. So you didn't even have an intention for the action of throwing, because on Shabbos, throwing is only inclusive of four amas, and he was intending to do less than two amas. So maybe there he considers the person pater. Regarding the third case, where he thought it was a private domain, and it turns out it was a public domain. But where he intended to do a throwing of four amas. That is, he intended to do a complete zrika. Maybe there you would say he would agree to Abaye because he intended to do the full action. That's what we need even the third case to say that no, even in that case it's considered mesasik because he didn't know that it was a Rosh Hasharab and he thought it was Rosh Hayachid. Therefore, Rava considers in all three cases we have to say that he's going to say it's potter and it's considered mesasik. Now the Gemara asks on the opinion of Rava. Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah. Avos malachas are bam chaser achas. There are 40 minus 1, which means there's 30 malachas. That's the Mishnah we're going to see in one moment, that it speaks about the 39 malachas of Shabbos. And it tells us that it's 39, that's 40 minus 1. And the Gemara says, Vavinban, we asked about this Mishnah, Minyan Ulamali, why did we need a counting? You'll be able to see. We don't have to tell you. Zereh Chayrish, it goes through all the 39, and then you get it, you know, so now why do we have to tell you a number? Vahme B'yechin, Rabbi Yechin had said, Shem Asin Kulim Behelamecha, to tell you that if you do all the malachas of Shabbos in one lapse of awareness, there's Chayav Kolachas of Achas, that you'll be liable for each one, that although it's one Isser, so to speak, of Malacha Shabbos, since they're all different categories, you're liable for each one separately, and you'll have to bring 39 carbon chatos. And that's why we tell you the number, to tell you that you'll be liable for each one even if it was done in one lapse of awareness. And now the issue the Gemara is going to address, and the Gemara addresses this same issue in a few different places, is that how can you ever have a liability on all 39 melachos of Shabbos? And that is, there's two elements you could be a shogeg in. You could be a shogeg in Shabbos. You didn't know it's Shabbos. You thought it was Tuesday. Or you could be a shogeg on the melachos. You knew it was Shabbos, but you didn't know that this type of grinding is usher, or this type of planting, that this is considered melach on Shabbos. So the problem is, if you are going to be shogeg on all the lamentas melachos, and that's how you're going to be liable for each one of them, all 39, so then that means you also don't understand that it's Shabbos, that there's no difference between Shabbos and the other day, because what does it mean you know it's Shabbos? What is Shabbos? Shabbos, you're allowed to do everything you're allowed to do on Tuesday, so Shabbos is the same as Tuesday, so then you're basically a shogeg on Shabbos also. And if you're shogeg on Shabbos, you're only going to be liable for one karmen chatzis, because that shgoga encompasses everything, and it's one shgoga that you're going to be liable on. As we say in another Mishnah, that if you're shogeg on Shabbos, it's only one chatzis. So the question the Gemara is going to address is, how do you ever have 39 at one time? That's why we say the Mishnah said that it's mem chaser achas. There's 39. We gave you the number to tell you could be liable on all 39 in one shot. But if you think all 39 malachas are mutter, and that's what we mean that you're shogeg on all 39, so then that means you're shogeg on Shabbos also, because there is no zada in them Shabbos. This doesn't mean that you know it's Shabbos, because Shabbos is the same as Saturday, as Sunday, and Monday. They're all the same type of day. So therefore, how are you liable to 39? In such a case that you thought all 39 malachas are mutter, it means you think Shabbos is also everything is mutter, because that's only what Shabbos is, 39 malachas. And therefore, you should only be liable for one when you do all 39, not 39. And that is what the Gemara is addressing right now. That bishlem ala baya, domik ha'gav nechayev, that we could understand and resolve this problem, according to Abaye, that he said in the preceding cases that he argued on Rava, that he says that you're liable. So then, mishkachas la diyada di isur Shabbos. You could say that this person knows about that there are things that are forbidden on Shabbos. He knows that Shabbos is today, and you're not allowed to do malacha. And the Yadla Issa Malachas even knows all the malachas, all 39 malachas that you're not allowed to do it. So then the question is, so then what does it mean? He's shaygig that he did inadvertently, that he thought it's mutter, but he knows it's asr. And that you could say that he made a mistake in the shi'urim, in the amounts of what makes you liable. And that is, therefore you could consider it like a zadin of Shabbos, because he knows today is Shabbos. But it's a shkoga in the malachas to be liable on each one separately, because since he knows that, again, that on Shabbos, and he knows the Yisurim, but he made a mistake regarding the shear that he intended to do less than amount. As the case we said before, when he intended to throw two amas, and he ended up throwing four amas, Abaye considers that a shkoga, because you intended to do the activity. He says, that's not mesasik. And therefore he says, although you intended to do two amas, and it went four amas, you'll be liable for Hitzan Rosh Hashanah. So therefore you could have such a case where you'll have all 39 malachas that you intended to do less than the shir. Then you did the entire shir. So that's considered shkoga in the malacha, not mesasik. And therefore you'll have all 39, because you know all the malachas, you know that it's Shabbos. And therefore you have this awareness, but it's a shkoga in each malacha that, again, that you intended to do less and you did more. El Rava Dama Pata, but Rava that says that you're Pata in all these cases, if you intended to do two, let's say, Amos, and it went four Amos, and that is because he says that's considered Misasik, you didn't intend to do the Malacha of Isser when you intended to do less than the Shir, and you did the Shir, so then Hechem Mishkachasla. So then how do you ever have the case of that Mishnah to be Mechayiv any person on all 39 Malachas in one lapse of awareness, if you can't have it? Because if you made a mistake about all 39 malachas, you thought they're all mutter, that's the only shkoga we could think of, so then that means Shabbos you think is Tuesday, that means you're shogeg on Shabbos too. So then you should only be liable for one chatas for the shkoga of Shabbos, because each individual malacha is anyways not important, because you didn't know that Shabbos is anything wrong to do, because again, you think all 39 malachas are mutter. In other words, again, according to Abaye, at least you can find the case that, yes, he knows Shabbos, he knows malachas, but you can still find the shkoga in each malacha when you tend to do less than the shir. But Rava considers that misasik, because you didn't intend to do the malacha of Isser, although you intend to do that malacha of throwing or sowing, whatever it is, but you intend to do less, he says that's misasik. So now the Gemara says, so obviously you have to say, Bezodin Shabbos for Shigas Malachas. It has to be talking about a case when you had a Zodin of Shabbos. That means you knew it's Shabbos and you knew you're not doing anything wrong, but he made somewhat of a mistake regarding the Malachas. You have to find such a case that you had a lapse of awareness of all 39 Malachas. But the question is, how could you have a Zodin of Shabbos? In other words, again, as we said before, what is the difference between Shabbos and all the other days? All the Malachas are mutter. So Shabbos is Tuesday. So that means you made a Shkoga regarding Shabbos. If all the 39 malachas you think are mutter, that you'll be shogeg on all them to be chayiv 39. So then the Gemara says that we could find the pshat, but hanichi sabal k'Rabbi Yochanan, it would make sense according to Rava if he holds like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar that he says, kivin shogeg b'karas, that as long as you were inadvertent regarding the element of karas, that afapi shehezid belav, although that you were intentional regarding the prohibition, that is, you knew the this malacha was asav. I know I'm not allowed to sew, I'm going to sew anyway. But I didn't know that I'm going that the person doesn't know that he's going to get karas, that he's going to die at a young age for doing that malacha. So therefore, Rabbi Yechanan's opinion was that that's also considered a shkaga on some element, and therefore that'll make a person liable for kamechatas. So then also you could find such a case, mishkachas la deyodo la l'shabbos balav, that according to Rav, it also will make sense that how you could have all 39 malachas to bring a carbon, that he knew that all the 39 malachas are aser, the prohibition, but he didn't know that it's going to bring karas. And therefore you could find such a case, according to Rav also, that although he considers the cases that he argued with Abaye Misasik, but you could have a shkaga again on the element of karas, in spite of the fact that he knew that it's Shabbos and you now do the malacha. But if he would hold like Rish Lakish, the amach yishkug belav v'karas, and that it's not considered a shaygig, that it's inadvertent, unless if you made a mistake regarding the prohibition and regarding karas, that is according to Rish Lakish, if you know that it's aser, even if you don't know you get karas, that's still considered a mazid, that's not going to be considered a shaygig. So then the question is, the yodol of the Shabbos b'may? So then again, what does he know about Shabbos? That he's considered a zodin for Shabbos, because again, if he's a shogging in Shabbos, I don't care if you're shogging all 39 malachas, you're still only liable for one chatas, because the shogging of Shabbos, that you don't know what Shabbos, is one mistake that you made that considers just one chatas. All the malachas are immaterial if it's Tuesday. He thinks Shabbos is Tuesday. However, if we want to make that only you're shogging all the 39 malachas, but Shabbos you know about, you're aware about, what do you aware about? This, you're allowed to do anything that you're allowed to do on the weekday. So therefore, how can you have a zodin of Shabbos in the shogga malachas? So the Gemara says, the Yadol HaBetchumen V'Alibid Rebbe Kiva, is that he's aware of the Isra of Shabbos, not one of the 39 Malachas, regarding a different area of Halacha of Shabbos, that you now go out of the Tchum, out of the boundary, the 2,000 Amos, so 12 mil, that you now go out with Shabbos, and that's according to Rebbe Kiva, who holds that Tchumen is Dairaisa, because it's Machlekes, if Tchumen is Drabon Dairaisa. Rebbe Kiva's opinion is that it's Dairaisa. So therefore, he is aware of Shabbos, but what are you aware about if you think all the Malachas are Mutter? He's aware about Tchumen. And Tchumen, he knows about, so therefore he knows that Shabbos, he now do malachas. He just thinks all those 39 are mutter, so therefore you could be a shogig on malachas and zadin and Shabbos, and that's how you can have a case of having all 39 malachas and one lapis of awareness to be liable on each one a carbon chattas. And that's how it will be according to Rish Lakish. If he holds like a biyach, then you could have a case of shogging karas. And according to Abaya, you have the case of when you intended to do less than this year and you did more than this year, and then you're going to have also that you'll be liable for each one, because Abaye considers that a shagig and not a masasig the way Rava learns. Now we continue to the next Mishnah, which begins the 39 head categories of all the malachas that are called Av Malachas, that these are the malachas that are learned out from the Mishkan, and they encompass all the human needs. And as we're going to see, the order of the 39 malachas, that first speaks about food, then clothing, then shoes, then shelter. It goes through all the different human needs, and all these are learned from the Mishkan, which was a microcosm of the world, and that's why on Shabbos we rest from all these different things, because then we're not creating anymore, but then we're just living in the Bria, in the moment, in the Shabbos, in the silence, and not creating anything more. And that's what our Mishnah is going to speak about, the 39 Malachas. So the Mishnah begins. Avos Malachas Arbaim Chasachas. The main categories of the Malachas of Shabbos, which is that there are Avos and there are Toldos, which are the derivatives from the Malacha, which are included in it. But the main categories are 40 minus 1, which means there's 39 Av Malachas. So the Mishnah begins. And the first category, as we said, is a reference to bread, which is the concept of food. Hazireya, sowing, v'chayrish, and plowing, v'koytze, and reaping, v'ma'amer, and gathering together, v'hadash, and threshing. That's when they take the grain and then they bang out the grain from the ears. V'hazir and winnowing. That's when they take the shovel full and they throw it up into the ear and then let's take away the leftover chaff that's mixed together with the grain. V'haboyer and selecting. That's when you take out the inedible parts with your hand from the grain. Hateichin, grinding. V'hamarakid and sifting. And that is with a sieve they use. And the Gemara asks that all these cases are in essentially one. That is, it's to separate the psoilus, the inedible part, from the oichel, from the food item. And therefore, why do we need three separate cases which sound like the same thing? The winnowing, the selecting, the sifting, they're all doing the same objective, and therefore why they consider a separate malachas, they should really be included as one malacha. And v'halosh, and kneading, v'oifa, and baking, that's the process of the person goes through from the beginning, from the sewing all the way through till the baking, till he finally has the bread. Those are the 11 malachas that are related to the action of bread. And really, Rashi says that bread wasn't, baking bread wasn't part of the avodah of building the Mishkan, because that's only related to bread, and there was no bread in the malacha of the Mishkan. But all these items, he says, these 11 malachas were related to the herbs that they used to make the dye for the tchelis, nargaman, talashani. And the Gemara asks, why did the Tana leave mevashel, which is cooking, which is what's related to the dyes that are used for the things, for all the different tahides and the things that were put over the Mishkan, and they quoted something which is regarding baking, which wasn't part of the malachas of Mishkan. However, those were the 11 malachas related to cooking, baking, which was by the Mishkan, which they used for the herbs that they dyed, all the different articles that were put onto the Mishkan. Now it continues with 13 malachas related to clothing, which were related to the different wool and the hides that were used for the Urias and the Mishkan. So this is Hagoizes Es HaTzemer, someone that shears the wool. And as we said, these all the malachas that were used for the wool that were for the malachas HaMishkan. Hamalavna is someone that whitens it, that is, he washes it in the river. Vahamanaftsay, and he disentangles the different parts of the wool. Vahatsayver, and he dyes it. Vahatayver, and someone that does spinning. Vahamesich, a mounting warp. That is the machine that they used to use for the weaving process. They would mount the warp and the woof thread that they would put it on. It would be lengthwise and widthwise. And that is part of the process of the weaving, the mounting part. That's considered a malacha. And is someone that does the setting of the two heddles. And that is that he puts two threads into the heddle eyes. Again, this is the machine that they would use for the weaving process. And that was part of it, the setting of the warp, the mounting of the warp, and then the setting of the two heddles. These are considered malachas. And then after one has mounted the warp and he has set the two heddles that he put the two threads inside of it, so then it continues, someone that does the weaving of two threads. Someone does the removing of two threads. That is sometimes that there's on these two threads more than what's necessary, and therefore he takes it apart and he weakens it for the necessity of it, facilitating the weaving process. And all these things that we're talking about over here, from Mesach, which is the mounting of the warp, all the way till when it speaks about tying and untying, they're all related to the Urias, which the Gemara later is going to explain what is kosher and matter related to tying and untying to the Urias, to the curtains that were in the Mishkan. But all these things that were learned out from that part of the Urias of the Mishkan. So it says, v'ha-kosher, and the tying of the knot, v'ha-matter, and untying the knot, v'ha-toifer shtei tvirs, is someone that does the sewing of two stitches, and ha-kireya amanas litver shtei tvirs, and someone that does a tearing in order to sew two stitches. And that is that they were sewing and ripping and tearing by the Urias. And that is because sometimes there was a round hole in the Urias, and he wasn't able to sew it up very well just by sewing it, unless if he tore it out, and so to be able to start it over even better. And as the Gemara explains, but if someone would do a tearing not with the intention of to go ahead and re-sew it, that wasn't in the Mishkan. They didn't do any destructive acts of just tearing. And therefore, it was only a tearing that was intending, if there was a hole, that they had to redo it, that you had to make it bigger so you could sew it up better. That's considered a malacha of kereya that they had in the Mishkan and that we learned that regarding the halachas of Shabbos. Now the Mishnah continues on to the next category related to the hides, which is related to shoes that are made out of leather, out of hides. Hatzod Tzvi, someone that traps a deer. And these are all the malachas of oyer of hide, as we said, that was related to the tchashim, which is a certain type of animal that they had in the times of the Midbar that was used for the Mishkan for their hides. Their hides were taken off, and that was used as one of the coverings of the Mishkan. So that's how we learn that all these malachas that were done to that tachash, we learn out that they're considered malachas and Shabbos. First one was that they trapped that animal. Then hashechtei, someone that slaughters it, v'hamavshitei, and does the skinning of the hide. Hamolchei, insults it, v'hamavadisari, and he does the tanning of the hides. V'hamamachkei, and he does the smoothing. That's the scraping off of the hair of the animal on the skin, on the hide. V'hamachatchei, and someone that does the cutting. That's like a trimming and the cutting, putting it into strips or making it into shoes. Then it continues on to the last category of miscellaneous malachas. Hakosev shtei oisiyah, someone that writes two letters. And v'hamoichik amanas lichtev shtei oisiyah, and someone that does erasing with the intention to then go ahead and to rewrite two letters. And that is the Gemara later on, Daf Kuf Gimel explains what was writing and erasing necessary in the Mishkan, because they would make signs, they would write letters on the krushim, on the beams of the Mishkan, to know which one matches up with the other one, and to say, put a letter on this one and that one, and that sometimes they would erase it if they made a mistake. So that's how we know that there was ksiva and mechika, writing and erasing, by the Melachos of Shabbos. Then Habayna, someone that does building, Vasaisir, and demolishing. Hamachaba, that someone that does extinguishing, Bahamaver, and kindling. And kindling and extinguishing was by the fire that was under the pot that was there to heat up the herbs, which was used for the dyeing process, for the tchelis and agamon. That's where we see that there was fire, there was kindling and extinguishing. And Hamachaka bepata, someone that strikes the final blow. That is the gemar of any malacha when it's completed, because the professional, the smith, what he used to do is that he would bang his hammer on the anvil to smooth it out so that when he was finished, that it was to prepare it for the next time. So therefore, the Mishnah also means to say that there's a certain malacha which is when you finish, when you complete something, that's hamaka b'pah, there's something that hits with the hammer. That's the metaphor they use for saying that when you finish the malacha, when you create something, that's a malacha of maka b'patish. And finally, hamuit mishus lishus, someone that takes out something from one domain to another domain on Shabbos, which is they used to take from one animal to another animal over Rishus Rabbim. That was they were mighty from Rishus to Rishus. That is where we know the 39 malachas of Shabbos. As the Mishnah concludes, Hari Elu of his malachas are Bam Chasachas. These are the 40 malachas of Shabbos minus one, which is really the 39 malachas of Shabbos. Now we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara first asks a general question, which we mentioned many times in the Gemara. Minyan Olamali. Why do I need a number of 39? Let us just say these are the Avos Malachas, Hazareah, Vacharish, and I'll see that it's 39. I'll know on my own. Why do we have to say a number? So Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Shem Asin, Kulam Bahal Mechel, comes to teach you that if you do all the 39 Malachas on Shabbos in one lapse of awareness, you didn't realize that this is Teich and this is Reik, you didn't realize all these different things, Chayav Kol Achas of Achas, that you're going to be liable for each one. And that's what's coming to tell you, that if you do them all in one lapse of awareness, you forgot all the Halachas of Shabbos, you're going to be liable for that many Chatois. And that the chiddush of that is that it's considered two distinct averes, although it's under the one category of malach and Shabbos. Since they're separate amalachas, they're considered for separate chatois, and therefore it's telling you could be liable up to 39 in one Shabbos. So now the Gemara begins discussing the 39 malachas, starting from the first one all the way to the last. Hazareya, sowing, v'acharish, and plowing. So that was the order it said, first sowing, then plowing. So the Gemara asked Mechti, let's see. Mikrev karvi bereisha. People first plow, and they do that to soften the ground. And only later do they sow. So why does it say sowing first? As the Gemara says, listen to Chayrish, v'hadu listen to Zareya. First they plowing, because first they soften the ground, and then say sowing, because then they throw in the seeds. So the Gemara says, Tana be'eretz Yisrael kari. The Tana of the Mishnah was talking in reference to Eretz Yisrael. Dizari b'resha v'hadu karbi. Where there they first sow, they first put the seeds down, and then they plow. And that is because the ground of Eretz Yisrael is harsh. And you won't be able to have the seeds take root by softening and doing Harisha first, even if you did Harisha first and then you put the seeds down, you're still going to have to plow again to get them really into the ground. And therefore, the Chiddush of the Tana was telling you that even the Harisha of after the Zriya is also considered Harisha. And that's why we said Zriya first. And then you're going to have to, because you're going to have to do Harisha anyways again afterwards. So it's saying that even if you did Harisha first, but we're telling you that the Harisha again, the plowing after the Zriya, is also considered Harisha because it does the same purpose of softening the ground to help facilitate the growth of the seeds inside the ground. That's why we say Zriya first and Harisha afterwards, that even that Harisha is considered the Malacha of Harisha that facilitates the growth of the seeds inside the ground. So the Gemara now begins from the first Malacha of Zriya. Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Hazireya, regarding sowing, v'hazaymer, and pruning, that is that you take off certain parts of the branches to help facilitate the growth of what was planted, v'anetei, and the planting of trees, v'hamavrich, and something that does bending over, which is that he takes one of the branches of a tree and he sticks it into the ground, and that becomes its own tree, and when it finally does, he cuts off the branch that was connecting it, and then you have a new tree, v'hamarkiv, and something that does grafting from one tree to another, kula malacha achasin, they're all considered one malacha. That's because pruning is also to facilitate the growth of the tree, so that's also considered part of Zireya. And the Nafkamina, as the Gemara is going to explain, is that if you do all of them together with Zireya, with sowing, you're only going to be liable for one carbon. Because as the Gemara is going to explain, there's something that does Malachas Harba in one lapse of awareness, that if they're one thing, that you're only liable for one. And that is, Zireya is the Av Malacha, sowing is the Av Malacha, and so to Neteya, planting is also Av Malacha, because that's really Zireya, but just one's talking about seeds and one's talking about trees. And so too for grafting and for bending over the branch. The only one that's different is Zaymer, pruning, that's a Toilada. But they're all under the one category of Zariah, which the Gemara asks, my Kamasma, what is the Chiddush? Why do we have to tell you that they're all the same Av Malacha? That the Gemara says, Kamasma, the Chiddush is saying that Ha'isa Malachas Habi, Be'in Malacha Achas, someone that does many Malachas, but they're similar in the fact that they're one Malacha, that they're all under the same category of that Av Malacha. That's the chiddush that we're telling you. The fact that they're all the same, we're telling you if you do them all at the same time, you only would be liable for one karban chatas. So now the Gemara explains in greater detail. Someone that does pruning, he's liable for the av malocha b'neteya of planting, which that's the malocha of helping facilitate the growth of a tree, and it's considered a terlada of neteya. V'hanetea, and someone that does planting itself, and v'hamavrich mahamarkev, and someone that does the grafting and the bending over of the tree, chai mishum zireya, they're liable, the Brisa says, because of zireya. In other words, they're also zireya, they're also sowing. That this is a, that zireya is a av by zroim, by seeds, and neteya is a av by ilonis. So the Gemara asks on the Brisa, mishum zireya in mishum neteya loy, in other words, in reference to mavrich and markev, which they're by trees. So what does it say that they're liable for zireya by seeds and what and not neteya, which is av malocha of zireya, but that's by trees. Of course, it should have neteya and not zireya. Now the Gemara says im af mishum zireya. What it means to say the Brisa is saying is that they're liable for markev and markev, even for the malocha of zireya of sowing, and that's what it's saying that they're really zireya in the trees. And what it's saying is, as we said before, that if you do markev and mavrich and markev together, is at, with zireya, that you're only going to be liable for one. It's saying the same concept, that it's under the same category of zireya, and that's what it means, that you chayv mishum zireya, to tell you that if you did it with zireya, you're only going to be liable for one chatas and not more than that. Now the Gemara continues on this malacha of zaymer, the toilado of zireya, of pruning. Amar Rav Kahana, zaymer, if someone does pruning, that is, he does it to facilitate the growth of the vine. That's the purpose of zaymer. But v'tzarech la'etzim, he also needs, he needs wood. He needs firewood. And because he needs a firewood, that makes it into toilada of kaitzer, of reaping. Because he also needs the firewood, and that's what reaping is, when you take, when you cut what's attached, to be able to use it. So therefore, although he's doing it for zaymer, he's doing it for pruning, that it should facilitate the growth, he's also doing it so he could use the firewood. Then chayev shtayim, then you're going to be liable for two malachas, achas mishum kaitzer, v'achas mishum neteya. One because of reaping, because you're taking it so you can use the wood, and also because of neteya, because you're facilitating the growth of the tree now by pruning. A similar type of case, the Gemara says, Omer b'yosef, hayman de kotel asafta, someone that cuts aspasta, and that is, that's what's called shachas in the Gemara. It's a type of a fodder for animals. And they would cut it three times a month, and then it would regrow. So in such a case, to someone that cuts this aspasta, his chayiv shtayim is also liable for two. Achas mishum kaitzev, achas mishum neteya. One for reaping, because he goes and he cuts it for his animals to eat. And also for neteya, because again, he's facilitating the growth of what was planted, because when you cut it, it helps to grow better. And thirdly, the Gemara brings another case similar to this. Omer Abaya, hayman de konev silka, someone that cuts beets. And that it, they would cut beets from where it was attached, and then it would regrow. Chayiv shtayim is also liable for two. Achas mishum kaitzev, achas mishum zireya, and the bach's goyis neteya, that he's liable for kaitzev, for reaping, because he has beets, and also for planting, because again, by cutting it, it helps it regrow stronger and better, and therefore you're facilitating the growth, which is a tailada of the malacha of neteya. Now the Gemara continues, quoting from the Mishnah, the second malacha of the lamatas malachas, which is v'achayrish, and someone that does plowing. So the Tanna learned in the Braisa, and similar as we said by Zeria, that regarding hachayrish, plowing, vachayfer, and digging, vachayritz, and creating a furrow, and that is that when a person drags a bench or something like that, that he creates a furrow in the ground, then kula malacha achasin, they're all one malacha, and that you would only be liable for one, because they all do the same purpose of chayrish, which is to soften the ground, and therefore they're considered one malacha. So the Gemara elaborates on this malacha of chayrish. Amar Rav Sheshes, hoysa legavshushes v'natla. If someone had a small mound and he took it away, so depending where he did this, it'll make a difference what malacha he's liable for. Bebayis chayv mishum bayna. If he does this in a house, so then he's liable for building, because in a house it applies the concept of building, because now he's intending to smooth out the ground. He doesn't want to mound a little pile in his house, because their ground, their floors used to be earth floors. So if he takes away the pile, he's smoothing out the ground. He's building the house. If he does this in the field, then he's liable for plowing. Because what he's doing is that he's softening the ground by taking away the pile, and now you could plant over there. So therefore, depending where you do it, you're going to be liable for different isurim. Similarly, the Gemara brings another case which would make a difference where you're doing that malacha, what malacha you're going to be liable for. If someone had a hole and they filled it up with earth, then bebayis chayv mishum bayin. If he does this in the house, then he's going to be liable for building because now he's completing the floor. Besada mishum chayrish. If he does it in the field, he's going to be liable for plowing because the earth that he filled up the ground with is soft and is good for planting. And now he smoothed it out, he evened it out to the rest of the ground that it could be planted with the rest of the field. So again, depending where you do it, it might be liable for either bayin or because of chayrish. However, Amar Baba says, "Achayfer guma b'Shabbos." If someone digs a pit on Shabbos, but he only needs it for the earth, that is, if let's say to cover waste or something like that, he doesn't need it for the actual pit itself, then Patrala, then he's exempt for that creating of the pit. And because it's not applicable for binyan of a house, because it's kilkel, it's ruining the floor, it's making it not smooth and uneven. And it's also not available for planting, because again, it's a pit and you can't plant in the pit. But if he needed it, then, of course, you'd be liable of buying. In other words, if let's say you wanted to make a bathroom and you need a pit, then that pit would be considered a malach of Shabbos of buying. But here we're talking about that you made the pit, but you only need it for the earth, and you didn't need it for the hole. Then you're exempt. And he says, Vafil Rabbi Yehuda, the amma malacha shein tzich l'gufa chayvala. And that's even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding a malacha shein tzich l'gufa, that you did it not for its defined purpose. That Rabbi Yehuda says that you chayv on, and Rabbi Shimon says that you potus. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says when you did something, but not for that purpose, you did it for something else, but ultimately you did that thing, that he says you chayv. So maybe you would think here also that although you're doing it for the earth, and when you're building in the house, you didn't want to make, but now you are making a pit, you're doing something that's a creative act, and therefore maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would think that you'd be chayv, because although it's ein tzrich l'guf, I don't need it for the pit. In other words, if I needed a lavatory, and I'm creating the pit, so I'm doing something, but now I just don't need that, so therefore, we're saying that you're putter according to everybody. And he's saying, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, although this seems to be just like a regular malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, that I'm doing it not for its defined purpose, I'm doing it for the earth, and I'm not doing it for the pit. He says, no, because even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, he only says it ha'nemili misakin, only if it rectifies. For example, the classical case that they discuss is when a person takes a corpse out of his house to bury the corpse. He doesn't need the actual haitzah, the taking out, and he doesn't need the corpse. In other words, so therefore, that's the malach of haitzah is something that in the tzrich l'guf, he doesn't need. Usually, haitzah is when you take out something from one area and you bring it somewhere else. You need this object in that area, so that's haitzah. You need it l'gufa. You're doing the malach of haitzah, and you need it for that item. You need it to get there. But here, you just want to get the mace out of your house. You don't want it inside. You don't need it out. So you just don't want it inside. And still, Rabbi Yehuda says that you're going to be chayiv because it still rectifies. You're accomplishing something. Again, it's not the malacha was not tzrich l'gufa. You didn't need the actual haitzah, but it still helped you by getting the mace out of the house. There he says, Yuchayim, hi makalkalu. This case is ruining the house because you're creating a pit and this is not a smooth floor. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree when it's makalkal, that would not be liable, even though it's, so to speak, a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, that you're doing the malacha, but if it's makalkal, then he would say that's not considered a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, that you're chayiv, it's only if it's at least misakin, then he says you're liable, even if it was not tzrich l'gufa, that you intended it for something else, but that you did the malacha, b'itzah, although you wanted it just out, and not necessarily there, still then you'd be chayiv, but here you'd be potter. Now the Gemara continues on to the third malacha of Shabbos. The Mishnah said, v'akoytzer in reaping, that is when you reap the grain from the ground. So Tanu learned the Braisa. Hakoytzer, someone that does reaping on grain. And haboytzer, and someone that does cutting of grapes. And these are all the same concept of taking something that's attached and taking it out from where it's attached, that it could be detached. V'hagoyder, and someone that does the harvesting, and that's related to dates. V'hamasik, and someone does the collecting, that's regarding of olives. V'ha'ir, and someone does the gathering, that's regarding figs. Kula malacha achas, they're all one malacha, they're all detaching something that's attached to be able to gather it, to use it for what the purpose is. So the Gemara elaborates on this malacha of koitza. Amar papa, hayman deshada pisa ladikla, someone that takes a clod of earth and he throws it on a palm tree. V'asr tamri, and then it severs dates that were attached to the tree. So the Papa says, chayiv shtayim, in such a case you'll be liable for two malachas. Achas b'shem teilish, one is the malacha of detaching. That's a toilada of koitzer, of reaping, because it's not the actual reaping, but it's detaching something. That's a derivative of the malacha of koitzer. The achas b'shem mefarik, and one for the malacha of extracting, which that is a toilada, that's a derivative of dush, of threshing, which threshing is that it's what's called mefarik. Here it's extracting, that you're extracting, you're unloading the grain from the ears, like when you unload from a donkey. Here also you're unloading the dates from the clusters, so therefore you're going to be mechayev on mefarik, extracting, which is a toilada of dash, of threshing, which is extracting the grain from the ears. And therefore, here in this case, when the date falls out of the cluster, you're A, detaching. So therefore, that's a telad of kaitza, of reaping. And it's also being mefarik. It's unloading the date from the cluster, which is the malach of mefarik, which is a telad of dash, of threshing. Bravashi and Bravashi argues, and he says, no, you're not chayav on anyone. Because ein derech tlisha b'kach, v'ein derech prika b'kach. This is not the normal manner of detaching or of extracting. And that is, you don't usually detach it or extract by throwing something. Rather, you either do it by hand or with a utensil. And therefore, it's considered kalach yad in an indirect way, in a roundabout manner. And that kalach yad, you're potter on, therefore you're not going to be chayv on either one. Now the Gemara continues with the fourth malacha. It says in the Mishnah, v'ma'amra, and someone that gathers, that it's after the reaping and the things are all on the floor, and he gathers them together, those that fell on the floor. So amar rabba. Hayman the chon of milcha mimilchasa. Rabbi says, so therefore the same thing applies. Someone that gathers the salt from the salt ditches, and that is, they used to draw the water from the sea into a little pool, and then they would cut it off and it would be still, and then the sun would dry it out, would burn it out, and then it would be left, because the water in the sea is very salty, it would be left just with salt. And that pit is called milchasa. These are the salt ditches. Someone that gathers the salt from there, chayim shemamer, he's liable for the malacha of gathering together, because he's also like gathering the grains, here he's gathering the salt. Abaya says no. Ein imer el begduli karka. The malacha of ma'amer, of gathering, is only by things that grow from the ground, and therefore that case would be potter, because salt is not growing from the ground, and therefore you'll be potter. It's only by things like grain which grow from the ground that you're liable for the malacha of ma'amer. Then the fifth malacha the Mishnah tells is about dash, and someone that does threshing. So Tanu learned the Braisa that hadash, someone that does threshing of grain, v'amenapitz, and someone does the beating of the flax, v'amenafitz, and someone does the striking of the cotton, and that is, they would take a bow, and they would use this bow before they had all the inventions, how they were able to do the cotton gin, that they would take a bow and pull it back, and that would disentangle the cotton from the seeds, because there's many seeds inside. That's why the production of cotton was very difficult. They would pull a bow, and that would help separate the cotton from the seeds. And interestingly, that cotton is something that grows from the ground. And that's why they're calling the disentangling of the cotton from the seeds as a telada of dash, of threshing, which is removing it from the things that are mixed into it, the psilis that's inside of it. That is, as we said, it removes the seeds. And it's not called telada of menapitz, which is a later malacha the Mishnah talks about, of disentangling, which is a malacha related to wool, because wool, that malacha, when you disentangle it, that's by something that grows on an animal. But here, since cotton grows from the ground, we consider it a telada of dash, of threshing. So therefore, all these malachas of dash, menapit, and menapit, kula malacha achasin, they're all considered one malacha, because essentially what they all do is that they take something that grew from the ground, and then they beat it, and that thereby removing the psilis, removing the things which are not essential and not integral for what you need, and by thereby getting what you need, that's removing the grain, and the cotton, and the flax, by beating it. They're all the same malacha, as we said, and the difference would be that when you do them all at one time, you're only liable for one karmichatzis, because they're all under the same category of dash.